We cannot be far from the road of yellow brick now,
remarked the Scarecrow as he stood beside the girl,
for we have come nearly as far as the river carried us away.
The Tin Woodman was about to reply when he heard a low growl, and turning his head, which worked beautifully on hinges, he saw a strange beast come bounding over the grass towards them. It was, indeed, a great yellow wildcat, and the woodman thought it must be chasing something, for its ears were lying close to its head and its mouth was wide open, showing two rows of ugly teeth, while its red eyes glowed like balls of fire. As it came nearer, the Tin Woodman saw that running before the beast was a little gray field mouse, and although he had no heart, he knew it was wrong for the wildcat to try to kill such a pretty, harmless creature. So the woodman raised his axe, and as the wildcat ran by, he gave it a quick blow that cut the beast's head clean off from its body, and it rolled over at his feet in two pieces. The field mouse, now that it was freed from its enemy, stopped short, and coming slowly up to the woodman, it said in a squeaky little voice,
"Oh, thank you! Thank you ever so much for saving my life!"
"Don't speak of it, I beg of you," replied the woodman. "I have no heart, you know, so I am careful to help all those who may need a friend, even if it happens to be only a mouse."
"Only a mouse?"
cried the little animal indignantly.
"Why, I'm a queen, the queen of all the field mice."
"Oh, indeed," said the woodman, making a bow.
"Therefore, you have done a great deed as well as a brave one in saving my life," added the queen.
At that moment, several mice were seen running up as fast as their little legs could carry them. And when they saw their queen, they exclaimed,
"Oh, your majesty, we thought you would be killed. How did you manage to escape the great wildcat?"
And they all bowed so low to the little queen that they almost stood upon their heads.
"This funny tin man," she answered, "killed the wildcat and saved my life. So hereafter, you must all serve him and obey his slightest wish." "We will,"
cried all the mice in a shrill chorus, and then they scampered in all directions, for Toto had awakened from his sleep, and seeing all these mice around him, he gave one bark of delight and jumped right into the middle of the group. Toto had always loved to chase mice when he lived in Kansas, and he saw no harm in it. But the Tin Woodman caught the dog in his arms and held him tight, while he called to the mice,
"Come back, come back, Toto shall not hurt you."
At this, the queen of the mice stuck her head out from a clump of grass and asked in a timid voice,
"Are you sure he will not bite us?"
"I will not let him," said the woodman, "so do not be afraid."
One by one, the mice came creeping back, and Toto did not bark again, although he tried to get out of the woodman's arms and would have bitten him had he not known very well he was made of tin. Finally, one of the biggest mice spoke.
"Is there anything we can do,"
it asked,
"to repay you for saving the life of our queen?"
"Nothing that I know of," answered the woodman.
But the Scarecrow, who had been trying to think but could not because his head was stuffed with straw, said quickly,
"Oh, yes! You can save our friend, the Cowardly Lion, who is asleep in the poppy bed."
"A lion?"
cried the little queen.
"Why, he would eat us all up."
"Oh, no,"
declared the Scarecrow.
"This lion is a coward."
"Really?"
asked the mouse.
"He says so himself," answered the Scarecrow, "and he would never hurt anyone who was our friend. If you will help us to save him, I promise that he shall treat you all with kindness."
"Very well," said the queen. "We will trust you. But what shall we do?"
"Are there many of these mice which call you queen and are willing to obey you?"
"Oh, yes, there are thousands," she replied.
"Then send for them all to come here as soon as possible, and let each one bring a long piece of string."